Chelek Yud, Parshas Miketz, Sicha Beis. In our Parsha, Perek Mem Aleph, Pasuk Nun He, the Pasuk tells us, Vatirav Kol Eretz Mitzrayim, and when all the land of Mitzrayim was famished, Vayitzak Ha'am Al Parei LaLochem, the people cried to Parei for bread, Vayomer Parei L'chol Mitzrayim, and Parei said to all of Mitzrayim, L'chu El Yosef, go to Yosef, Asher Yomer Lachem Ta'asu, what he will say to you, you shall do. Now the first Rashi is on the words Vatirav Kol Eretz Mitzrayim, when the land of Mitzrayim was famished, and Rashi explains that the Mitzrayim had gathered grain according to the advice of Yosef, who was preparing them for the hunger, but all of the grain in their storehouses had rotted, and the only food which remained edible and fresh was in Yosef's warehouses. The next Rashi, which is the one that the Rebbe elaborates on and explains in the Sicha, is on the deeper Hamaschil, on the words, Asher Yoimer Lachem Ta'asu, what he will say to you, you should do. Parei telling the Mitzrayim, everything Yosef says to you, you should do. And Rashi says, Lefi Shehaya Yosef Oimer Lachem Sheyimaylu, because Yosef had told them to have a bris, and when they came to Parei, the Oimrim, and they said, Kahu Oimer Lanu, this is what he's telling us. Amar Lahem, Parei told them, and Rashi continues, and the Rebbe is going to explain the rest of the Rashi later. But let's focus now on the beginning of Rashi. We need to understand. The Pasuk says, Vayitzak Ha'am Al Parei LaLochem, the people cried to Parei for bread. Vayomer Parei L'chol Yosef, and Parei said, go to Yosef. According to what Parei told Yosef before, earlier in the Parsha, he says, Valpicha Yisha Kol Ami, and according to your word, all of my people will be nourished. Parei appoints Yosef as viceroy and puts him in charge of all the needs of Mitzrayim. Therefore, it's simple to understand. The Mitzrayim are crying for bread, and Parei's telling them, go to Yosef. He's in charge. He'll help you. He has the food. This is his job. So why is there a need to have any other explanation? It seems very simple to understand according to the Pshat. And even if you say that there are questions, and there is a need to explain this Pasuk further, didn't Rashi tell us that the Yesod, the foundation of his Perush, which he has reiterated many times, is, Shalai Basi Ela L'Pshutei Shal Mikra. I've only come to explain the simple Pshat of the Pasuk. Ula Agada Hamiyasheves Divrei Hamikra, and to bring down Agada that clarifies the words of the pasuk, Davar Dibral Ofnav, each word explained in its proper way. So according to this Yisayit of Rashi, how is it Nageya in Pshutei Shal Mikra that earlier the Mitzrayim had come to Yosef and Yosef told them to have a bris, and afterwards they went to Parei? How is this nageya to the simple explanation that the Mitzrayim cried for bread and Parei sent them to Yosef? Also, there's another question, which is on the actual Lashon HaKasev, which is on the actual words that Parei told the Mitzrayim to go to Yosef, and Asher Yoimer Lachem Ta'asu, what he will tell you you should do, Asher Yoimer in the future, not in the past. So this is about future conversation. And it's apparent that any conversation they had with Yosef in the past had nothing to do with this inyan of hunger and of needing food. Their conversations might have been about other things, but it had nothing to do with this. And Parei's telling them whatever he says in the future, you need to listen to. Now, there are Mefarshim who explain that the long conversation that Parei had with the Mitzrayim, which we'll explain further in the Rashi, it must mean that before the Mitzrayim yelled at Parei, they spoke to Yosef. Because if we would say that first the Mitzrayim came and screamed to Parei, and then he sent them to Yosef, it should have said, L'chol Yosef, go to Yosef. But since he added, Asher Yoimer Lachem Ta'asu, everything he says to you, you should do, it must mean that they had already gone to Yosef, He told them something to do, and they didn't want to do it. So Pari's telling them now, go, and everything he says you should do, implying that he told you something in the past that you didn't do, now anything in the future he tells you, you should do. So some of Farshim explain this. But the Rebbe says there are questions with this explanation. In addition to the fact that even according to this Perush, it's still not understood why, according to Rashi, the fact that Yosef told them to have a bris milah is nageya has anything to do with the pshat of the pasuk of Paray telling the Mitzrayim to go to Yosef. And how is this relevant to Rashi at all? Now, from the Lashon HaKasher, from the words of the pasuk, which says, Asher Yoimar, everything that he will say, it's proven, like we said above, that Yosef seemingly hadn't yet told them what to do. So, kind of hard to understand. If they went to Yosef in the past and told them to have a bris milah, why is the Lashon HaPasuk, the word, saying whatever he'll tell you in the future as if Yosef didn't tell them anything in the past? Now, the Rebbe continues and asks, if Rashi's proof in bringing the Perush that Yosef told them to have a bris milah is explaining the fact that Parai had appointed Yosef to be in charge and to be a viceroy and to nasun Yisrael kol Eretz Mitzrayim, and to be on top of the whole Eretz Mitzrayim. But the Mitzrayim didn't listen to him. So therefore, why didn't they listen to him? They didn't listen to him because he told them to have a bris. So therefore, Paray had to command them again and tell them, like they should have known since Yosef was the viceroy, but Paray had to reiterate and say, but Yosef, go and listen to everything he said. So if there was this very specific connection between these two ideas, between Paray telling the Mitzrayim to go to Yosef because they hadn't listened to him telling them to have a bris, so then the wording should have been a little bit different. And it should have said, Mikan, from here we learn, Shaya Yosef Amar Lahem, that Yosef said to them to have a bris, from the fact that Paray had to tell them to go to Yosef and listen to him, we learn that Yosef had already told them to have a bris, and they didn't listen, and Paray had to reiterate it. But Rashi uses a different word. Rashi uses the word lefi, shahayu Yosef Amar Lahem, for Yosef had told them. So from this, we understand that the fact that Yosef told them to have a bris is not connected necessarily or intrinsically to Yosef, to Paray telling them to go and listen to Yosef. Because it was Davar HaYadu, it was known that Yosef was telling the Mitzrayim to have a bris. And the only reason it is brought here in this Rashi is because it's an introduction to the rest of the Rashi. So that the actual fact that Paray is telling the Mitzrayim to listen to everything that Yosef says has more to do with the end of the Rashi. And Rashi has to bring this fact about the bris in order to explain the rest of the Rashi. What is the rest of the Rashi? The rest of the Rashi tells us that, so let's go back and say, and just remind us what the beginning of the Rashi says. The beginning says that Yosef told them that they should have a bris. And when they came to Paray and they said to Paray, Kachu Aymar Lano, this is what he said to us. Amar Lam, Paray said to them, Beloma light sevartem bar, why didn't you gather grain like he told you to long ago? He announces to you, Sheshnei Rabbam, that the years of famine are coming. Why didn't you gather grain? Amru lai. So they said to him, Asafnu harbe v'irkiva. We did store very much, but it rotted. Amar Lahem. So Paray said, Im kein kol asher yomer lachem tasu. If so, everything he says to you, you should do. Hari gazar al tzvua v'irkiva. Behold, he has decreed upon the grain and it rotted. Ma im yigzar aleinu v'namos. What if he makes a decree on us and we die? So the Rebbe has a few questions on the end of this Rashi. And he first of all asks, as above, he says, why is it necessary to prove from the meaning of the pasuk according to Pshat, according to Pshutei Shel Mikra, why is it relevant, this back and forth, this long conversation between Parai and Mitzrayim? Again, the pasuk says, Vayitzak ha'am al-Parai l'lachem, that the nation cried to Parai for bread, and Parai said, go to Yosef. Why is this whole back and forth conversation relevant at all according to Pshutei Shel Mikra? Another question. After the Mitzrayim told Parai, according to Rashi, Asaf Nuhar Be Tvua Verkiva, we gathered together all of this grain and we put in storehouses and all rotted. Parai responded, Imkain, if there's nothing to eat and therefore no other choice, then Kol Asher Yomer Lechem Tasu, then everything he says, you should do. What's missing in understanding the Pshutei Shel Mikra that he must add, Hare Gazar Ma'im Yigzar Aleinu V'namos. So he's saying that you gathered and it rotted and, you know, therefore you must listen to everything that Yosef says because he decreed on the grain. Why is he adding that, what if he puts a gzera on us and we die? How is this adding anything to Pshutei Shel Mikra? Also, Rashi adds, Kol Asher Yomer Lechem Ta'asu, everything he says you should do. Why does he add the word kol, everything, which is not in the pasuk? Also, he includes himself, and he says, Ma'im Yigzar Aleinu V'namos, what if he decrees upon us and we die? L'chaira, why is it necessary to include himself in the gzera, in the decree? Parai is above Yosef. He appointed Yosef. Why is he worried about having some decree or something, you know, terrible being done to him by the words of Yosef? Finally, why does it have to add the word Misa v'namos and we'll die? It seems unnecessary. You could just say Ma'im Yigzar Aleinu. What if he decrees upon us? So, it's true that this general medrash that Rashi brings down, it's obviously an important commentary for us to learn, but it's known that the klal of Rashi in general is that in his commentary, he only brings medrash if he must explain the pasuk in its proper way. So this entire medrash, and the Rebbe brings all these questions to understand what this medrash is adding again to the Pshutei Shel Mikra, to the simple question, which is why did the Mitzrayim have to scream to Parai for bread? And then the answer is that Parai told them to go to Yosef. It seems like very simple to understand, and this whole medrash seems unnecessary according to Pshutei Shel Mikra. Also, we must understand in general, the content and the inyan of this medrash. The Rebbe has some questions on this actual medrash. Aleph, first of all, for what reason did Yosef demand that the Mitzrayim circumcise against their wishes? What was the point of it? What was Yosef hoping to gain from it? Now also, in Parshas Noach, it says, V'as es timcham l'nafshisechem edresh, and Rashi explains that damchem, your blood, is hashefech dam atzmai, is a prohibition against spilling your own blood or making your blood come out. So according to the pshat, the Torah forbids someone to make themselves bleed, even if he won't get sick from it, or if he won't die from it, a person is not allowed to make themselves bleed. Similar to the Isser, Damu Laisechelu, you shall not eat blood, which is also in Parshas Noach, and which is also explained by Rashi. So according to this, it's understood bipashtos, the popular question, why Avram Avinu didn't give himself a bris milah before he was commanded to, even though by then he was fulfilling Kol HaTorah Kula Ad Shelo Nitna. He was fulfilling the entire Torah, which hadn't even been given then. And the reason is because he was actually commanded not L'Shpoich Damai, which commanded to Nayach, not to spill his own blood, not to make himself bleed. And it's Pasha to understand that there's no place and there's no hider to be Mekayim a mitzvah that's not given. And it doesn't overrule a commandment that was already given. So the commandment that was given was not to make himself bleed. And Mila, which is making himself bleed, does not overrule this commandment that he was actually given. However, when he was actually commanded by Hashem to have a bris Mila, then it overrules the commandment not to make himself bleed. It's nidche mevatel, it's totally mevatel, it totally overrules the iser of shrichas damim, of making himself bleed. So according to this, it's not understood, how could Yosef tell the Mitzrayim to give themselves brisim? Isn't this an iser of shrichas damim that all people were commanded not to do? All people, all human beings, were commanded not to make themselves bleed. How could Yosef tell the Mitzrayim to give themselves a bris, which they were not actually commanded to do, if they were already told not to spill blood? It would seem that is the more important commandment. That is the commandment from Hashem and all mankind. Yosef's commandment doesn't overrule that. The explanation is on the pasuk, where it says, Paray told Yosef, Atatiyah besi val picha yisha kolami. You are going to be in charge of my house, and according to your word, you will give sustenance to my nation. That basically, the nation belonged to Yosef. Yosef was in charge of everyone. And Rashi explains that he nourished and he sustained and he took care of all of the needs of the entire nation of Mitzrayim. Meaning that Yosef was responsible to provide all of Mitzrayim with food and with any of their needs that they had. And Yosef took this upon himself to fulfill this job. And all the Mitzrayim knew, like we see in the Pesukim after this, that Yosef went out to Mitzrayim and he got the grains from the grain houses, and there was a lot of it, and he gave food to the Mitzrayim. So according to this, when the Pesuk says, Vatirav kol eretz Mitzrayim, that the whole land of Mitzrayim was famished, and they screamed to Pari for bread, it's totally not understood why the Mitzrayim yelled at Pari for bread. Yosef was appointed to take care of all their needs and sustenance. Therefore, it must mean that the Pasuk shortened in Dvar Pasha, just gave us simply what was going on, and didn't go into the whole backstory. Because it must be, since it was known that Yosef was in charge, why didn't they go to Yosef? So it must be that first they came to Yosef and asked him for food, because they knew he was the ruler and the viceroy on Mitzrayim. And when he didn't fulfill their request, because he said, you have to have a bris mila, and they said no, so he said, I'm not giving you food, then they came and yelled at Parai. Now, why didn't Yosef fulfill their request? Yosef is in charge of giving them food. Why is Yosef making conditions that they have to have a bris mila? In addition to the fact that how could he do this? So, what this thing that Yosef asked them to do, again, let's go back to the idea of the bris mila and explain why Yosef could and should have commanded them to have a bris. Let's go back to Avraham. After Hashem commanded Avraham to give a bris mila to himself and B'nai Beisai, his entire household, he told him in Parshas Lech Lecha, Himal Yimal Yilid Beischa U'miknas Kaspecha. You should give brisim to all those who are born in your house and everything that you own or you bought with money, which means his servants and his slaves. So, the reason for this tzibui, this commandment, is that anything that belongs to Avram, why can they have a bris when the commandment to have a bris was only given to Avram? But since Avram is responsible and he for all these people, and he has a chiyuv to give a bris to himself, therefore he also has a chiyuv to give a bris to all of his people as Hashem commanded him to do. Now, according to this, the fact that Avram was commanded to give a bris and felt responsible to give a bris to everything in his house, to all those in his house, which in some ways he owned or he was in charge of, so too Yosef was hashalit ala aretz. He was the ruler of the land, and he was in charge of kol eretz Mitzrayim, the entire land of Mitzrayim. And it says that la yarem ishes yadei vesragle b'chol eretz Mitzrayim, that no person could raise their hand or raise their foot in the entire land of Mitzrayim without his permission. They were all 100% under his rule, and therefore in his position, in his possession, like miknas kesef, like something that he bought or owned. And therefore, according to Pshutei Shel Mikra, it's understood that since he owns them or he's in charge of them, he has a chiyuv, he has a responsibility to try to make sure that they all have a bris. And this overrules the commandment not to make themselves lose blood. And in this, it's understood the point of the Lashon of Rashi, who says, Lefisha haya Yosef omer lahem sheyimailu. Why is Rashi bringing here, when he says, when Parai says everything that he says, that Yosef says you should do, why is Rashi bringing, because Yosef told them to have a bris? Not because the bris is directly connected to Parai telling them to go listen to Yosef. But it's because Yosef telling them to have a bris was not a one-time thing. He constantly told them and begged them to please have a bris, and even more when the hunger began. And then finally they came and begged him for food as he was the ruler of the land. And they continued to beg for food, and he continued to beg them to have a bris. Because according to what we said before, Yosef was mechuyev to make sure that they had a bris. So we must say that when the hunger strengthened in Mitzrayim, and they continued to have to turn to Yosef, he was mechuyev not to sell them food, not even for a lot of money, but only to give them food on a condition that they have a bris. So they're going to Yosef. Yosef wasn't just asking them because he wanted them to have a bris and he, you know, it was his personal thing. But he had a chiyuv to demand that they have a bris or else he won't give them food. And therefore, when Vayitzak Amal Pari Lalachem, when they finally went to Pari and they screamed for bread, because he was the king, so they figured he's the king, and Yosef's only the Mishnah Melech, he's only the viceroy, so maybe Pari can overrule Yosef and we don't have to have a bris, but we could still get food. But then Pari told them, L'chu al Yosef, go to Yosef, asher yoymer lechem tasu. Everything that he says, you should do. Meaning, Pari saying, I'm not interfering. I'm not telling Yosef to give you bread, even if you don't have a bris milah. Listen to Yosef, whatever he says, you should do. So it's understood that this was very important. The bris was intrinsically connected to the food. And since the bris milah is intrinsically connected with them needing food and then demanding food of Parai, therefore Rashi has to explain this whole inyan of the bris milah and of their conversation with Parai, the Mitzrayim's conversation with Parai about Yosef and his decrees. This whole story and this whole idea had to be explained by Rashi because it was intrinsically connected to Parai telling the Mitzrayim that they must go back and they must listen to everything that Yosef says. Because Rashi, as Rashi tells us, Hare Gazer Ala Tfua Verkiva, meaning that if the reason that they don't have bread and are yelling at Yosef is because of something natural, then he could tell Yosef, give them bread, whatever is a miscommunication or whatever reason. But since the reason they don't have bread is because of Gezeras Yosef, Yosef made a decree, and therefore all the grain in the warehouses got spoiled, and therefore you have no grain. But Yosef told you to have a bris, to have food, but you won't listen. And now you're coming to me, and you're telling me to overrule him, but you're also telling me that he decreed on your grain, and he spoiled, and he made it spoiled. I am not going to overrule Yosef. Who knows what kind of decrees he could give us now? And Pari is very nervous because he says, first of all, he says, even if I overrule him and I tell him to give you food, he's going to decree that food should rot too. And even if you say that, who cares if the food will rot? We'll eat some of it before it rots. And maybe he won't even decree that it should rot. And if it does rot, at least we tried. And therefore, you might say that it's worth it for Pare to try to overrule Yosef and make Yosef give them food. But Pare is saying it's not just about the food rotting. It's much worse. There's a much worse danger than the food rotting. The danger is death, and it's immediate death. It's the greatest danger. And therefore, Rashi adds, in the words of Pare, that even though Pare has control over Yosef, and he can tell him to do something against his will, and he can even make him make a decree, so to speak, but Pare is very nervous that what if this comes to bite him? What if he forces Pare to give the Mitzrayim food, and then Pare comes back, and Pare decrees that he should die? Because Pare feels that he has no shlita, he has no control over Yosef to do something against his will. And he's honestly very scared of Yosef's decrees. Now, there's still room to argue. Since Yosef is a tzaddik, and his gezeiros, his decrees are fulfilled, there's no fear that he'll geyser, that he'll decree death on the people. Since they are not forcing him and commanding him to do anything, they're not the ones who will force Yosef to give the people bread. Pare is the one who's going to force Yosef. So Pare is the one who Yosef might decree should die. And therefore Pare has to say, Aleinu. He's scared, Ma'imi Yigzar Aleinu V'namus. What if he decrees upon us and he's going to die? Because Pare is the one who would force Yosef to give food to the people. And since he's the forcer, he's the one who would end up being decreed. And who's the one who's causing him to force Yosef to give food? It's the Mitzrayim. So the Mitzrayim forcing Pare to force Yosef to give them food will cause Yosef to decree on all of them to die. And Pare and the people will end up dying. And so Pare, like we said, is very scared. And this thing that Pare told them, that Yosef can decree on them and they'll die, is also hinted to why is this even brought up, the idea that they could die. It's hinted to in the Lashon of the Pasuk, Asher Yoimar Lachem Ta'asu. Why does it use Yoimar Lashon Asid in the future, as we said before? Because it means that his kavana, his intention, is in Yosef's intention, might not only be about what he already told them about Bris Mila. So Pare saying, go and listen to him about the Bris Mila. But even if he says something new to you in the future, Yoimar Lachem, whatever he tells you in the future that you have to do, do it. You must fulfill it. Kol Asher Yoimar, whatever he decrees. Whether it was something in the past, obviously you have to do. But even if there's something new, you must do it. So again, when Pare is telling the Mitzrayim to go back to Yosef and everything he says you should do, it's obvious that they already went to him. But now he's saying, whatever he said in the past you should do, obviously you should do. But now whatever he says in the future, you also have to do. But it's not understood. Why would Pare fear that Yosef will command on something additional to what he already commanded in the past? He had a reason for commanding them to have a bris. Why would he give them an additional commandment? Therefore, Rashi explains that the pasuk is speaking in a lashon asid, in the future. Asher yomer lachem ba'asid, that he'll tell you in the future to do, which is hinting to the reason that you must do what Yosef says, and that Paro cannot command Yosef and overrule Yosef and force him to give the Mitzrayim food, because it's possible that in the future he will say something that he didn't say now, that he will give a decree that he didn't give till now, and therefore, what if Paro is saying, what if he didn't, what if he will decree something on us and we will die? So he is saying, not only Asher Yoimar, listen to him, whatever he'll tell you in the future, even if it's not bris and it's something else, you must listen, because he might also make another decree in the future, a new decree. So in the past, he decreed that the food should rot. What if in the future he decrees on us something and we will die? Now Rashi, the Rebbe explains Rashi in according to the Yena Shel Taira, according to Chassidus, that this whole idea that is explained in many cases, in many places, the difference between Yosef and the Shvatim, that Yosef was a Merkava of Atzilos. The Nyanei Olam Hazeh by Yosef were not Mitzius HaTeisefes Makayim. They didn't burden him at all. And therefore, he could be Melech Mitzrayim. Therefore, he could be a king in a place that's Tachlis HaShiflos, the lowest place in this world. But even in such a place, and in spite of such a place, he was on the highest level. B'Tachlis HaAliyah V'Advekus Belikus, on the highest level, and the highest level of clinging Telikus. However, the Shvatim were Merkava Debriya. They had to be separate from the world, therefore, because their source was on a lower level. And so they chose to be shepherds because they were scared that Nyanei Olam Hazeh would burden them. And they didn't want to be burdened by Nyanei Olam Hazeh. And they didn't want to be distracted from Avodas Hashem. And in this Rashi, we learn even more that not only did Nyanei Olam Hazeh not distract Yosef from his dveikus with Elikos, but even more so, that he affected and was mashpia on the world around him. And we see this in the fact that he forced the Anshei Mitzrayim, the people Mitzrayim, in Erev HaSaaretz, in the lowest place on the land, to have a bris. And through this bris, to subjugate their essence. They were known shtufei zima, and they were entrenched in the lowest things. And yet, he felt that he had to affect them, and the best way to affect them was through a bris milah. Until even Paro Melech Mitzrayim commanded them to listen to Yosef and give themselves a bris milah. And as we said before, that this command to listen to Yosef was connected to the idea of the bris milah. That Paro, in fearing that Yosef might decree something against him, told them not only to listen to the past decrees such as bris milah, but even future decrees, which in Ruchnius is the way that Yosef was trying to affect the world around him. And from this we learn a raw lesson for each one of us. Yisrael Yidden are called by the name Yosef, like it's written in Tehillim, Noyei Katzon Yosef. And therefore each one of us has the koyach to affect ourselves wherever we find ourselves. Even when the people in a place are Yerida Gedayla Baruchnius, Rechaikim Oid Miyadus, they're on the lowest level spiritually and very far from Yiddishkeit. But not only should we be not overwhelmed from the chumrius, from the physicality of the place, but we should not let our spirit get let down. And not only shouldn't we be overwhelmed and not let our spirit get down, but we should strengthen ourselves even in these lowest of places. And we should make sure that we are shalom b'tayra mitzvah despite our surroundings. And even more so, we should know that we have the kayach to affect the world around us wherever we are and to affect all yidden around us, who they are, no matter what level they are, until through this and through our acting in the proper way and through our affecting those yidden around us in the proper way, we'll also be an or l'gayim, will be a light unto the nations, that also the B'nai Nayach will fulfill their Zion mitzvahs, until the whole world will be fixed and purified and will be zaycha to be as Mashiach Tzikenu, and the fulfillment of what it says, ki az epaycha el amim safa brura l'kore kulam b'shem Hashem l'av d'shchem echad. Mashiach comes and the entire world will turn to Hashem and serve the same Hashem, the Hashem, with all together. And we'll all call together in the name of Hashem. And this is very relevant to Hanukkah, which is this idea of bringing the light and influencing those around us. So afreilich in Hanukkah, and we should be able to shine that light just as Yosef did.